is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
610, nice job, Andre and Dave, yesterday, filling in.
Thank you, it was fun.
Yeah, Nick did a good job. Of course, I turned the radio on. I told Andre this yesterday when I talked to her. I turned the radio on at like 9:55, and I could hear Dave's head exploding as Dr. Stryker was discussing some very intimate female parts.
Yes, yes.
Words I had heard before, but just not
Dave,
on WGN.
You don't even know where those parts are. Who are
no,
you kidding?
I really don't.
I've never seen, you know, 50 shades of red. Red. I saw Dave edit turn. Maroon, magenta.
And was Dr. Stryker in the room?
Yes, she was, yeah. And her husband was here, too.
Did she offer a free exam to anyone?
She did not.
Seems appropriate.
No, I don't think she
would have been inappropriate.
That.
Politics today, lots to discuss. Donald Trump is in the hospital this morning with whiplash. He changed his position three times yesterday on where he stands on abortion, so we'll talk about that later. After 7 o'clock, the typical run of our Renegades, and Rick Pearson will lead it off with the school strike tomorrow. So that's on, huh?
That's on.
Teacher
strike tomorrow. We had Forrest Claypool on yesterday. There are places for the kids to go who whose parents are working or not going to be home. There's more than 100 different sites on CPS website. They include public libraries, park district buildings, and the kids can go there. They can study. They can read. There will be activities, and they're going to get two meals as well. So they'll get breakfast and lunch tomorrow.
You can go to WGNradio.com and the WGN Radio app for the full interview from yesterday. So what is the goal of the strike?
Well, here's the thing. The main point is because teachers are upset. They've been going back and forth, CPS and the union, over this contract since July. The teachers are working without a contract. They want a significant pay raise. The district is offering them a little bit of a raise, but not what they want. So that's what it really boils down to, despite the fact that Karen Lewis is saying, well, it's not all about the money and it's not all about the contract. That's mainly what it's about.
Why a day?
They just wanted to pick a day. They picked a day, and it's a good question, too, because Forrest Claypool and some of the other CPS officials said, you know what, pick spring break. If you want to make a point, don't put all these
You're still
going to
get
out.
The media coverage.
You're still going to get the coverage, do a rally or something during spring break, and the union decided, no, they're going to do it during a school day, which
is
unfortunate.
This is exactly why people start to lose solidarity with the teachers, because parents all over the city are scrambling. And, you know, kids who depend on school as a refuge and a place to go to be, you know, safe and have something to eat, which is a decent percentage of kids in the city as well. You know, they get under pressure and everybody's got to scramble to make up for this. I mean, the selfishness that goes on both sides is well documented. Having said that, there's only so much money and there's only so much money to go around. And the unions representing the teachers who are insisting that even the teachers that don't want to take this one-day strike still have to do it, or they'll be penalized by the union. You're going to lose in the end if this continues.
That's absolutely right, and it's unfortunate because the union is reportedly pressuring teachers, as you said, to not go to work on this particular
threats. Day. Threats.
Or absolute they'll face threats. Repercussions. Yeah. And what's really unfortunate is that we got a text from a former producer here at WGN who said that an elementary school on the north side, they're putting on their play. It's their spring musical on Friday. And the teachers who are in charge, of course, and the director and even the sign language interpreter have been told, don't go to school. So the kids are, you know.
But the kids can't do their play.
Very disappointed.
Well, all like after school activities. Well, all that stuff.
Athletics,
you know, sports,
in high school.
Everything.
You know, and most importantly, academics, right? Because, you know, my kids have been out of school for a long time. But I can tell you this. You lose a day, you lose a lot.
Right.
And if a kid's struggling and there's something they need to get over and Friday happens to fall on Friday, or there's tests and quizzes that have to be made, look, it's a big deal. One day is a big deal, and it's frankly stupid.
And who's babysitting for all the kids at all these facilities?
That's the thing. It's most parents work or kids. Not everybody's a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home dad, so the kids have to have somewhere to go. That's why they're keeping these schools, libraries, and park district sites open. There's also, in the interview, too, if you go to the CPS site and on WGNradio.com, there's a couple of different events that are going on for the students this Friday. There's a camp, a movie camp for film students, and then there's the Windy City Fieldhouse, which is going to have baseball, kickball, hockey, basketball, all kinds of sports activities, too, for the kids.
Yeah, and there's a selfishness from the union side of this, too, that I think needs to be pointed out, and that is the city's broke and the city has to spend extra money to cover while the teachers are on strike. Where's that money coming from? It's coming from other programs that the city can't pay for because the teachers are on strike. So, look, I'm not sticking up for Mayor Emanuel. I'm not sticking up for Forrest Claypool. I'm not sticking up for the way the city was run. You can back this up as far as you want. But the city's broke. The bottom line is right now the city's broke. So there's no money. Here's what they're willing to offer. Find something in the middle and stay at work. Finish the school year. And shame on the union. You know?
Shame on the union for forcing the teachers who actually want to, right, they go, want to go and to be work. There to right. force them to stay home by threatening them.
That's and if somebody wants to think this is some slam on the unions, we're all union members in this room.
Right.
You know, and we all believe that there is a reason and a power and a benefit to unions to do the right thing. In this case, I don't see how they're doing the right thing. But everybody wants
some. I want some too. Weather in the first 5 minutes. Watch Chicago's first weather report at 10 p.m. with our guy Tom Skilling. Weeknights on WGN-TV News at 10.
Nick DiGilio joins us. Thanks for filling in Monday, Tuesday. Did a fine job as always.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. It's always my pleasure.
Let's talk about what really matters before we get to the movies and everybody wants them. Let's talk about our Hawks.
Oh, man.
It's not good right now.
No, not good.
Not good. And here's why it's not good, because the bar has been set very, very high. I don't know if you guys know this. The Hawks have won three cups in the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
Is this widely known?
This is widely known. This has been reported. And on top of that, they have a talent lineup that's so deep, you could argue it's maybe one of the strongest rosters in the history of the National Hockey League, any team at any time.
I would agree with that.
So we find ourselves, Nick, in a position where we have to worry about the Hawks, where normally all we have to do is lose our voices cheering for the Hawks. Worry is something we don't know. It's an uncomfortable emotion.
It absolutely is. I was, you know, Dave and I were talking about this, you know, on the couple of days that I was filling in for you. And one of the things that I was saying was that, you know, it's tough. One, it's really tough to win back-to-back cups, which, of course, the Hawks have never done. That's one thing. But I don't know if, that Bowman has ever made as many moves as he made before the trade deadline, acquiring so many new guys that I think – as much talent as we have and as great as the moves that Bowman has done, especially bringing Ladd back, I think it's been a little bit tough for these guys to gel on the ice. I think it's really hard for them to get, you know, this rhythm going because there's so many new guys, and because they were losing, you know, Q switching up the lines a lot, it's hard for these guys to get that rhythm going between them if there are some new guys that have never been on the ice with these other guys before who have been on the ice a lot.
And then you got Crawford not there. You got and then Darling not getting it done like he did last year.
Who's that in goal, Nick?
Yeah, Ron Darling.
Ron Darling, former Mets pitcher. Yeah. No, Scott Darling, who did a great job last year, is certainly going through what amounts to a sophomore slump of sorts.
Yeah. And then like one of the best defensemen in the league does one of the stupidest things I've ever seen anybody do. I'm talking about Duncan Keith, and he's going to get suspended. He pulls that stunt when Seabrook is out sick that night too. And it doesn't make any sense.
Generally speaking, for the kids, because Eddie likes to break this down for the kids, don't hit other players with your stick. But here's the thing. I don't think he was trying to whack the guy in the face. I think the face got in the way of the stick. How's that sound for a homer take?
Really, Steve?
regardless of the fact, you're swinging the stick, you're going to get a penalty. Yeah, and we'll see how long he goes. Dave, you think it's five or more than that?
Well, the fact that they have offered him the in-person hearing means they can suspend him for six or more. More than five.
I think you're going to give him more than five.
Let's go live to Mike Jacobson in New York at NHL offices. Why are you in New York? They're in Toronto.
Is my connection okay?
Yeah, you sound fine.
Okay.
What are we hearing? How many games?
My sources are saying seven games.
Seven games.
So that would be two playoff games to start in the first round.
Here's the problem I have with that. Playoff games are more valuable than regular season games. So a two playoff game suspension would be the equivalent of what? About a 10-game regular season suspension? So you're essentially doing a 15-game suspension.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
We didn't hit him that hard.
But wait, God forbid, if the situation had been reversed.
Oh, I'd be screaming about it.
But, you know, the fact that he came back, that Coyle came back in the game,
Yeah, that should help.
Which should mitigate in his favor, you would think.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And maybe we talk to Duncan Keith about really taking a guy out next time. What? No, is all this on the air?
You know, I made this analogy, Steve. See if you agree with me on this. I'm terrified of the postseason. I'm terrified of certain teams. I'm absolutely terrified of Dallas.
Yeah.
There's no question. But, you know, Minnesota has had the Hawks' number all season. Obviously, they lost all six games that they played the Wild. But, and I made this analogy, the Hawks are to the Wild what the Pistons were to the late 80s Bulls in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's true.
And I don't want what happened, you know, to the Pistons in 1991 to happen to the Hawks this year in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, this is the first. You remember last year, mid-season, right around mid-season, we were all going, oh, boy, doesn't feel like this is the year. And then they turned on the Jets, and they never let him go. Now, nobody wants to play the Hawks, rightfully so. No, I don't care what team. Every team in the league would love to get around playing the Hawks to get to a Stanley Cup, because you don't win a cup unless you beat the Hawks.
That's right.
They're the champs till they're not the champs. But this is a unique position, and this will test the depth of character for the team. Not that there's any question about how much character these guys have, but how fast can they get their act together? I said act. How fast can they get their act together for the playoffs?
And it is, you know, I mean, they have a reputation over the years of coming back from having their backs against the wall, especially in playoff situations. I can't tell you the number of times that, you know, we've gone to seven games in the past few playoff seasons. I mean, that Detroit comeback from, you know, in game seven is one of the most monumental. I was at that game, and I almost had a heart attack.
Yeah, they were down 3-1.
Yeah, and I couldn't believe it. And to do that, to come back in situations like that, these guys have a lot of, you know, it's not over. It's obviously not over. It's just, it's kind of scary, and it's very disappointing the way this past month and a half has gone.
Would you start Michael Layton?
Maybe that would be a good thing, you know? I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
I think the problem is Ron Darling is an ex-Met. That's the problem.
I think you put Darling in the net tonight. Is it tonight?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
You put Darling in the net tomorrow night. But if they're down 2-0 in the first period, it's Layton until it's not Layton.
I think you're right. I would go with that. Well, you know, you can advise Hugh later.
Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah, because you know what he's going to love talking about? This. It's 6:27. All right, I need one-word answers on the movies. What was the first one?
Let me just say this really quickly. This is the first weekend where I've been unbelievably excited about the two main movies coming out, and I'll describe them very quickly. Everybody Wants Some is Richard Linklater's follow-up to Dazed and Confused, featuring a different set of characters, but it's like a spiritual sequel to Dazed and Confused, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. He wrote and directed it, and he cast a bunch of no ones in hopes that 15 years from now, like Dazed and Confused, the people he cast in this movie are massively popular and big movie stars, and I can't wait to see it. It's the first movie that I've been really excited about.
Okay, now 15 years ago, you didn't have the distractions you have now. Are people going to go see a movie with no stars in it?
That's a good question. Well, I think here's the thing is that the Dazed and Confused fans, and let me tell you something, there's an army of us out here.
Okay.
There's a huge army of us. We're going to go. And that, you know, and I know that will be enough to give it some pretty good box office and some good buzz.
Are most of you on medical marijuana by now?
Yeah, sure, if you want to put it that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, what's the other one?
The other one is a great film that I haven't seen yet, because I know it's going to be great. It's called Midnight Special, and it's Michael Shannon plays the father of a kid who may have special alien powers, and it stars Sam Shepard and Kirsten Dunst, but it's written and directed by who I think is maybe the best young American filmmaker out right now. His name is Jeff Nichols. He directed Mud with Matthew McConaughey. He directed Take Shelter, and he also directed Shotgun Stories. Michael Shannon has done some of his best work ever in Jeff Nichols movies, and for me, this guy's the real deal, Jeff Nichols.
We gotta get you know Shannon, right?
Yeah, I do. Yes.
Yeah, we got to get Shannon on this show.
Yeah, yeah. He's a very weird guy.
Isn't he a Chicago guy?
Yeah. Didn't we have him about a year or so ago?
Did we have him on?
Oh, we had him on.
Oh, this show's been on a long time.
Yeah.
Here's the thing I love about Michael Shannon. He does like big movies. He was in the stupid Superman movie from last couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
He does, He's been nominated for Academy Award, but yet he comes back here every year to do at least one to two plays at a Red Orchid Theater, which is a theater that holds 65 people.
Wow, how about
and
that?
He comes back here every year.
That's
he
cool.
He donates money to local theaters. He's an amazing guy. He's weird as hell.
Yeah, well, he's an actor.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
Exactly. But those are the two, Midnight Special and Everybody Wants Some, and I haven't been excited about new movies in a long time. And let me tell you something. This will be enough, I think, to wash the horrible taste of that Batman movie out of my mouth when I see
Glad you mentioned that, because I brought this up at the Wilmot Theater last Saturday night. Thanks for everybody that came out, sold out show, and Andrea did great. Great, great. Kevin did great. Ross did great. And the cost, but I mentioned Batman versus Superman because I couldn't figure out why they were fighting. Turns out Lois Lane's a slut.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Blame the woman.
No, I'm not blaming her. I'm just saying that's the facts. Trump
it's
told me.
Yeah.
Trump told me all about it.
Trump told me.
Trump told me, so you know it's true. All right, buddy, I'll talk to you.
You got it, man.
There's Nick DiGilio. And at Nick D Show, I believe I'm right about that on social media. We'll come back, get your big story next on 720 WGN.
To think that this is an issue that is not deserving of reaction just demonstrates a lack of appreciation for how serious this is. It goes to the heart of who we are as women, what kind of rights and choices we have.
6:43, our friend Chuck Todd standing by, at Chuck Todd, moderator and big kahuna at Meet the Press. Morning, Chuck, how are you?
Not too bad.
The Trump...
Just another crazy week.
The Trumpster is spinning faster than the Tasmanian devil. Remember how the Tasmanian devil would spin? You'd hear the whir. I could hear the whir from Wisconsin. So what happens, Chuck?
It was a pretty stunning thing to watch Trump on abortion, because he did something that that is remarkable. He somehow united the pro-life and pro-choice folks.
Exactly.
Criticizing him. I mean, that's a pretty tough thing to do, is to get everybody on the same page on that issue.
He should run for magician.
But Trump did it. You know, I think what he showed, and we've talked about this before, he's winging it. He wings it on policy. He is a convert to conservative ideology. And he's sitting there, and you could watch as Matthews is asking him, okay, what do you do about punishment? And his head is spinning, and the wheels are turning, and Trump is buying time. And I think he gave the answer he thought was supposed to be the answer you gave.
And
you know, this is not the first time that he's done this. And, you know, this is where, look, I've had conservatives tell me that their anger at Trump is that Trump is performing a caricature of how a liberal would describe a conservative that they didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he's taking sort of extreme positions of in the conservative movement, and he thinks he's going to impress conservatives, and it's totally insulting.
Well, and when you see those wheels spinning, and you see him trying to figure out under whatever's on top of his head what he's going to say next. I mean, it's not a game show. It's not a game show. You're running for the presidency. And I got to give Anderson Cooper credit the other night, because on the town hall, he called him out and said, that's the argument of a five-year-old. And, Chuck, you've done it on Meet the Press 1,000 times. So the question is, he does this, which seems to be the ultimate insult to more than half the population in the way he handled it. Does he go up 20 points again? Because that seems to be what normally happens.
Well, that's the thing. You're right. That is what normally happens. But I tell you, you know, we have some polling out of Wisconsin. It'll be the first test of a truly shrunken field. And the theory has always been, you know, Trump can't grow, right? Trump's number is stuck. Well, if that's the case, then he will lose Wisconsin. And I think if he does lose Wisconsin, combined with sort of the mess that he made this week, remember, it wasn't just an abortion. Let's talk about nukes. You know, there've been a couple of other issues that he's created some problems this week. Then I think it will then finally convince sort of Republicans, powers that be. Think Paul Ryan, think Ryan Spivers, to see, you know what? As painful as it is to stop Trump, that they will conclude this will be the week that they will conclude it's more painful to keep.
Yeah, and it would be amazing that it would take this long to catch that. But I think yesterday, when he changed his position three times in 3 hours, on an absolute core conservative issue, there's no other answer.
There's none. And I think, look, it means, yes, they're risking, is it better to lose without him or lose with him? And I think they're going to conclude it's better to lose without him and to do what's necessary to pick whatever fight it takes, deal with whatever, the consequences that they'll have to deal with him.
Chuck, who do you see the Republican, if that in fact happens, who do you see the Republican Party rallying around, especially if Trump loses Wisconsin? Does it bode better for Cruz or Kasich? Or neither?
Well, I think it would go to the convention. I'd rather be Cruz because the convention delegates are more in line with Cruz ideologically than they are with Kasich or Trump. And I think when you, the rank and file sort of Republican Party activist these days is not crazy about the John Kasich school of governing. I think the Kasich issue on health care is just too much for the folks that will be on the floor of that convention in Cleveland. So if it comes to where the decision is, all right, if we're going to take this away from Trump, we got to keep it with a candidate who actually ran, then I'd rather be Cruz. If it gets a little, if they reject Cruz too, then I really think the only place they go is Paul Ryan.
And when was the last time a convention went to somebody that didn't enter a single primary?
Oh, not this century.
Yeah, it's been a wee while.
Not in the modern era. Yeah, I mean, even though there was a contested Republican convention in some form in 52, in some form in 48, 44, all those guys did at least run in some primaries. And not since the primary system have we really done it this way.
And then Paul Ryan, here's a great question if you're Paul Ryan. If you're Paul Ryan, do you want to enter the fray at this point, or are you sucked in against your will?
No.
Because him running down the road after building some stature as Speaker, then maybe he's got a legit shot.
Well, no, I think if the Ryan scenario is only if it becomes a debacle in Cleveland. I think for now they got to be careful to do it too. If it looks like they're going to play, they're going to stop Trump this aggressively now, I think they do risk a voter backlash. I think they got to play this out. But I do think that if Trump loses Wisconsin, momentum-wise, it's hard to envision how Trump gets the magic number. And then at that point, that's when, it's sometime in June or July. I don't think you do the Ryan thing until it looks like it's a oh, my God, we got to do something.
Right.
But you do it there.
Final four this weekend. Who you got?
I feel pretty good because actually I had two of the four.
You got two of the four. Did you win the Meet the Press pool?
No. My final game is still intact, but I did so poorly in the first round. But North Carolina, Oklahoma, I mean, in a few pools I just pulled for Miami because what am I supposed to do? I would have been upset at myself if Miami had pulled the upset. But I have North Carolina over Oklahoma in the final.
The Meet the Press pool, of course, is for fun and just bragging rights.
Oh, no. It's like ours. It's like the Tribune pool. It's illegal gambling. So you got North Carolina to win it all.
I do. But the best player in the best player in the Final Four is on Oklahoma. And, you never know.
Here's the upset special. Syracuse. Syracuse gets by North Carolina, and they win it Monday night.
Great.
You know what? Here's the thing. This is the way Boeheim. Every time he has won a title, he's done it with a team that has no business being in the Final Four, so this fits that pattern.
And this takes it to a new Trump-type level. He had no business being in the event.
God love Bam. He is, you got to give him credit in the tournament. He could be. His best teams are usually out in the first or second round. It's always these teams that he somehow gets going.
Chuck, get over that cold, will you? And we'll see you Sunday.
You got it, bud.
Thanks, man. Steve. Chuck Todd, at Chuck Todd on social media, the moderator, host, and big kahuna at Meet the Press. Coming up in about 15 minutes, a big announcement, big staff announcement, big station announcement.
Is it a shakeup?
That depends on your perspective, I suppose.
Are you happy about this?
Okay. you know. No, it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
It is good. It's good on every level.
Actually. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But since I have a couple of minutes here, I do have a headline if you want to hear the story. And if you don't, I understand. New study finds that owning a cat can lead to severe mental illness.
Oh, you love this study, don't you?
No, no, it's not true at all.
You don't like
owning
cats.
A cat. Well, I'm allergic to cats. Like, nasty allergic to cats.
Yeah, that's what we all say.
Owning a cat can lead to severe mental illness. We have any cat owners on the show?
I had a cat years ago.
We did.
She was a stray.
Dave, do you have a cat?
I do not.
Okay. Married? Cat owner?
No way.
But I also had a dog for many years. I'm a, more of a dog person, but I like cats as well.
Right.
I don't mind them.
Jake, you got a cat?
No. Single guy with the cat look. Not a good look.
How about you?
I don't do pets.
At all?
No.
Well, that's true, because you got, you know.
Children?
You got a cat and you got a couple of kids.
Yeah. Well, once they stop them from having hair and putting paws on the ground and wanting to come and sit on my couch and things.
So once
slobbering or eating.
Once they stop living, basically.
But they put a paw print on your heart, Mary.
Oh, you and your dog. Yeah. Grzanich is a
baby. Grzanich, you don't have a cat, do you?
Oh, God, no.
Okay. Well, easy.
Wow.
All right, so let's go over why the rest of...
So none of us like cats.
Yeah.
Yeah, though everyone on this show has mental illness of some sort. Most cats love to cuddle, but a new study has found that people who come in contact with litter boxes, because you got to clean the litter boxes, may develop sudden rage, bipolar disorder, or schizophrenia later in life.
Right.
See, I don't see why, though, because it's so easy to clean the litter box.
Yeah, and I've said that even though I miss having a dog, when the dog can pick up after me, that's when I'm going to get a new dog. According to CBS, E. Fuller Torrey of the Stanley Medical Research Institute and Robert H. Yolkin of the Stanley Laboratory of Developmental Neurology at Johns Hopkins, kids, not exactly Stanley School of Medicine.
No,
this is a big deal.
Big time.
Yeah, have been studying the link between infection with a parasite found in cat doo-doo, and schizophrenia. They've looked at this for 30 years. Then they went home to their cats. This most recent study published in Schizophrenia Research. Hey, Jake, is my Schizophrenia Research subscription up to date? Because I haven't seen it since, the beginning of the year.
I think it expired in December.
That's no good.
Forgot to renew it for you.
I knew he was going to say that.
10 years of cat ownership data compared to the 30 years of cat litter box data has led to a discussion of toxoplasmosis on the show this morning.
Toxo what?
Toxoplasmosis. And yes, I was in a band called that.
Okay.
Cat ownership in child has now been reported in 3 studies to be significantly more common in families where the child is later diagnosed with schizophrenia or other serious mental illnesses. In other words, get rid of mittens today. Back with your news next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
I don't know if it's horrifying. I'd like to thank Dave for playing guitar on this. Why don't we just listen to Stevie? We don't need to do the announcement. Writing's on the wall. It's 7:13, Steve Cochran Show, number 618. And in those 618 shows, a crucial part of the operation has been Kevin Powell.
Yes.
Did I say has been?
What's that about?
Oh, boy. Remember when he first was your producer? He was disappointing Kevin.
Yeah, well, he was in junior high then.
That's right.
Thanks for reminding everyone, Andrea.
And he's grown to be spectacular, Kevin.
Well, he's shrunk, you mean.
Let's not go crazy.
Sorry.
Derail the announcement. Right. Here's what I'm saying. Kevin is leaving the show. Kevin is leaving the show. Your show mom, Mary, on the 7th floor, couldn't bring herself to come down here. She's too emotional.
Very sad.
Did Mary bake a cake or anything like that?
Easy. Dun, dun, dun.
Well,
so here's, I don't know if you remember, we
you
used to have,
eat one, he's on
we used to have someone on the show named Anna DeVlantis.
Remember Anna? Yeah, yeah. She's great.
And Anna DeVlantis left the show to work with Ro Khan.
She did. Mm-hmm.
Now, the rationale there is she didn't want to get up at this kooky hour to do the show. Mm-hmm. In fact, I've come to accept she likes Ro better than me. But she's doing a great job with Ro.
She's doing a fantastic job.
And recently, Ro had a sports anchor that left the show. And the sports anchor left the show. Conrad Dingleberry? What was his name?
Connor.
Connor McKnight.
Yeah.
Connor McKnight left the show. So Connor McKnight left Ro's show. So that created an opening. Mm-hmm. Several people came through. It was like a reality show. It was like a Survivor thing.
Oh, yeah.
Several people left the show or came into the show to try to audition for it. And the one that caught Ro's eye, the one that struck Ro's fancy, was one Kevin Powell. So I'm here to announce this morning that Kevin Powell will be the new sports anchor for the Ro Khan Show.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Congratulations, Kevin.
Thank you. Now, here's the thing, and Kevin knows this because we've been talking about this off the air for weeks. Kevin has done a phenomenal job on this show.
Yes.
And Dave, you've been managing people for years, and many of them still talk to you.
Not many.
And Kevin having an opportunity to be on the air on this radio station, biggest single radio station in the country. Kevin having an opportunity to do this and to do this on a big-time show like Ro Show. Well, I mean, you know, why would I stand in the way of that? Sure, I'm hurt. Sure, I'm crushed by this. But, you know, my son dumped me a week and a half ago, so maybe it's me.
That's right. You notice a pattern?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. Yeah, who's next?
I'm just glad it's not me.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. You're on the list. You, Annette, Andrea. Okay, now you, Andrea.
Thank you, Steve.
Yes.
Wait, what?
So here's the deal, Kev, and you know this, yeah. In all sincerity. I'm proud of you.
Thank
I'm
you.
Happy for you.
Thank
and
you.
I, you know I wouldn't stand in the way of this. Mm-hmm. I think it's a fantastic thing. So
right.
I think you're going to be great.
I appreciate it. And like you said, 618, is that what we're in? 618th show today. I've had a blast on the morning show. It's been fun. You guys are friends. This is like a family to me. So it was sort of the, what would I say, the easiest hard decision or the hardest easiest decision yeah. I've ever made.
Well, it's like Catch 22. It's
right.
Like Catch 22. I'm Look, thrilled for you to
yeah,
have your shot.
Right.
And of course, I'm sorry you're leaving the show.
Yes. Yeah. It's an opportunity I couldn't pass up. And Dave's been great in this. Steve, obviously, this throws a wrench into some things, but you've been supportive. Working with Andrea and Mary all the time, they've been great and supportive. Jimmy and Todd are on board, two of the best bosses you could work for. And,
not the, of the best.
They are the best.
Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
qualify.
The best bosses, and they've been supportive, and thank you to them for the opportunity. But I can't pass this up. It's what I've always wanted to do is work in sports full-time, be on the air, and I'll be doing that with Ro and Anna, and I'm thrilled.
Yeah, and you'll also be covering the Sox and the Cubs as well on a you know, fireman sort of basis.
Yeah, and there will be no shortage of baseball storylines this summer. So I'm looking forward to being at both sides of town, Sox and Cubs. And I think I'll be jumping on with you guys still every now and again.
Oh, no,
talking
no.
Oh.
That's not happening.
I guess I was misinformed.
No, that's not going to go crazy. I mean, once you cut the ties, you're out.
Right.
No, of course you'll be on the show. Absolutely be on the show. Mm-hmm. And the great Rob Feeder, in Rob Feeder's column and blog in the Chicago Tribune, and it's at robertfeeder.com, mm-hmm. chicagotribune.com. Writes about this morning, and this is a big deal. You're in Feeder's column.
I saw that, Steve. I saw that.
I also want to add that two lesser-known names, Ryan Dempster and Kerry Wood, have agreed to appear as regular baseball contributors on the program. Woody and Dempster will be on the show, and I think what we're doing is Demps will be on Thursday mornings, right? Woody will be on Thursday afternoons? I think that's the plan.
Yeah, yeah. Kerry joins Ro every week, and Dempster will jump on with you guys, I believe, 7:40 every Thursday at the time we're aiming for, so that'll kick off next week. Opening day is already here. It's crazy. So we'll have Dempster on next week.
Did you reach out to Curtis Dingleschmidt, the former Ro Khan sports anchor, and ask him about the job at all?
Is that his name, Dave? Connor?
No, that's not his name. He asked me about it, Steve.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
I did not talk to him about it. No.
I had it. I mean, the guy was calling me all hours of the day and night.
Yeah,
Dave,
he said, just get out.
I want to do sports. I want to do sports. I said, good. Go do sports.
Right.
But seriously, thank you to everyone. The morning show means a ton to me, and it's going to be weird, but
I'm proud of you, dude. I really am.
I know
thank
you.
You know
that.
Thank
you.
But I'm proud of you, and we love you on the show, and you're yeah. welcome here anytime.
Yeah, love you guys, too.
You traitor.
We're proud of you, Kevin.
And
you, Kevin. And besides, now Kevin is in a position to put in a good word to maybe get Matt Mert in a spot. on the active roster. So good luck with that, Kevin.
I tried that, Andrea, and he was immediately cut.
I know.
He seems to be going to the minor leagues,
Andrea. Is this it? Is this all we're doing?
I was getting a little paranoid the way Andrea set that up. Is maybe Kevin could put a good in with word in with Ro for the rest of us.
Oh, yeah. Ro, what's up with Ro leaving me 3 voicemails yesterday?
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I haven't checked those yet.
Texter is coming in, Kev, from the 815. Congrats, Kevin. You're great. From the 708. Screw Kevin. I'll join you, Steve, from the 815. Feel bad about Kevin leaving. I really like him, and I don't like Ro at all. Give Ro a chance. The show's great. 815 texter, congrats, Kevin. Fear the bird.
And fear the bird.
On and on it goes. And then another texter sent a picture of a litter box, but I don't think that's related to you.
Well, thank you to the listeners, too, because as a producer back there, I've been screening calls for the past 2.5 years, and we do have some side conversations, and they're always hilarious, and have a blast talking to them. So, of course, and thanks to the listeners.
The good news is tomorrow we're going to do a little going away party for Kev.
Oh, I've got a little treat, too.
It's a surprise going away party.
Is he even going to be here?
Yeah, so he's coming in.
Okay.
Yeah, I cleared it with Ro. And that'll be tomorrow on the show. And we're going to do an extensive nationwide search for his replacements.
You think it'll take a while?
Well, you know, we got Ross and Kevin to replace. Got a couple of millennials. I mean, with that kind of work ethic, you know, it's not going to be easy. So we'll announce that, you know, later today about how you could possibly be part of our nationwide talent search.
Is this going to be like a American Idol type thing where there's stages and all throughout the country?
Oh, absolutely. Intergalactic.
Okay.
An intergalactic search.
Is it going to end with you presenting a rose to the winning producers?
That's how Kevin was hired.
Show.
That's how Kevin was hired.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
726, more on the circular firing squad that once was the Republican Party. Before we get to that, though, let's get to Rick Pearson at Rep 30 with the news of politics and, of course, the Sunday spin. What's the guest lineup for the weekend?
I've got Teresa Ma. She's a going to be the next Democratic representative in the city of Chicago in Springfield, the first Asian American elected to public office. I've got Republican Representative Dave McSweeney and the Tribune's Juan Perez Jr., and we'll talk about that day of action that's scheduled tomorrow.
7 o'clock Sunday morning, best political talk period from the best political writer in America, my friend Rick Pearson at Rat 30. All right, so the one-day strike tomorrow, how does this help the union?
Well, you know, I don't know if it does. But frankly, one-day strike is probably better than a long-term strike, which is still looming ahead. I mean, there's already some dissent within the union over this strike and taking a day of wages off. You've got discontent over the furlough policy that CPS announced. I think it's an effort to try to, frankly, bring the union together for the harder issues that are ahead. But that having been said, the point of this is to try to call attention to the fact of a lack of funding from Springfield. And I think there's a great disconnect there because everybody knows Springfield's dysfunctional and there isn't any funding on the horizon anytime soon.
Well, and the mayor said it pretty well when he said, you don't like the fact there's no funding from Springfield, get in line.
Right, exactly. Take a number. And no one is happy with the way Springfield is functioning right now, but again, a strike is not going to change anything.
So what happens is kids get put in the middle, and you know, it's a big deal to kids. It's one day, yeah, but it's a big deal to parents that have to scramble. It's a big deal to kids, and there is money that has to be spent to cover. So that money comes out of other programs. Does the union have any sort of PR arm that understands they can't do anything they want?
Well, I mean, one thing, and we've done this in our polling when we ask about, you know, when it comes to improving Chicago public schools, who do you side with, the mayor or the teachers union? And the numbers are still overwhelmingly in favor of the teachers union. And it's like we talk so often about the battle in Springfield between Governor Rauner and Mike Madigan. As long as a side feels it's winning, it's going to push the envelope, and that's exactly what's going on.
I understand that, but I wonder what the question or the polling answer would be if the question was, do you agree with the way the teachers union has handled themselves during the course of this talk?
Well, I think that's a very fair question, and especially, you know, for the most part, after that initial strike a while back, and even then, that strike kind of was not as damaging to parents and taking days off because it was in the early before the school year. Now you're talking about right in the middle of the school year, and that's when it has its hardest impact. In fact, that's kind of why the only part of the budget Bruce Rauner signed was the elementary and secondary schools budget, was to offset any kind of hard feelings from parents over what are we going to do about taking care of our kids.
Chicago State the other day said they had to take their keys back from employees, and they turned around and said, no, we don't. But, you know, state-funded schools are in a mess in higher education. There's no, you know, lifeline being prepared to be thrown to them, I guess, right?
No, there isn't. And, you know, as we've talked throughout this 10-month budget impasse about looking for kind of pressure points along the way, and again, with Governor Rauner signing the elementary and secondary schools budget, you know, that alleviated a pressure point. The courts took care of other pressure points along the way. This, I think, is really where we're starting to see it. Is you see Chicago State University, you look at some of the smaller public universities, Northeastern Illinois, Eastern Illinois, Western Illinois, schools without big endowments to be able to cover that lack of a budget. Now you're really reaching a pressure point. And quite frankly, as I've said before, if you're a parent of a child who's looking to go to college next year, I really think you're hard pressed to look at any of Illinois' public universities and say you ought to go there.
Yeah, by the way, that decision is not a decision made in a vacuum. That's a four-year decision.
It's a four-year decision, and frankly, you look at some of these kids now who are in the middle of their, I guess, college careers, you'd say, and they don't know if there's a school to come back to in the fall.
Yeah, well, you know, we're doing a show, which we haven't officially announced, but we will be announcing at Governor's State in the fall. And they couldn't be better people. I mean, talking to Governor's State, they could not be better people. And, you know, I'd done shows there years ago, and I'm looking forward to going back. And we were talking to them, and they're rightfully concerned, too. All states that are dependent upon money coming from Springfield that isn't coming anymore, what are they supposed to do?
Right. And, I mean, the governor has made no secret, you know, from his campaign that he believes there's too much bureaucracy in higher education, that there's too much money going to administration and not to the classroom. But that having been said, and, you know, sure, there's a legitimate argument to make there. But here again, it's about the students. And when every politician says education's my number one priority, how do you square that with the fact that you're talking about public universities that are going to face closure?
Got anything on the presidential election before I let you go?
No, just more of the Trump follies, and I know you guys will get into that. So I'll let you have it that.
Thank you, buddy. At Rab 30 and Sunday morning at 7 a.m., Sunday morning at 7 a.m. with the Sunday Spin.
I didn't start it. But,
sir, with all due respect, that's the argument of a five-year-old.
I didn't start it. No, it's not
the argument of a five-year-old.
He was grabbing me. Am I supposed to press charges against him?
You look at that tape. He was very, very seriously maligned, and I think it's very unfair.
I got a very unfair question from somebody, but we don't even talk about that.
You know, I say we don't win anymore. We don't win. We never win.
I got the most votes. I should win. I mean, it's very simple. I got the most votes, and I didn't get the most delegates, right?
So the Republican Party hasn't treated me properly.
Thank you, darling.
From the mind of Jake, well done. Well done. We'll get to our friend Pat Brady in a second. He's on spring break. I told him he wasn't supposed to go. He's too old.
I got the most votes.
Eric Adelstein is here. Eric, what's your company? Well, let's get that one on. Now try.
AL Media.
All right. So one of the things you do at AL Media when you have a candidate is you develop campaign commercials.
We do.
Didn't Hillary Clinton get a freebie yesterday from Donald Trump?
I mean, the challenge is it's a plethora of riches. I don't.
That's true. You just take everything Jake just put together.
They made an ad in about 45 minutes based on what he said, and you don't even the best ads are the ones that are the candidate in their own words. And with Trump, we could run like a 6-hour movie just of his own clips.
A best of, worst of.
Yeah.
So, the cliche third rail of politics is overused, obviously. But abortion is one of those things you can't get wrong, right?
It's amazing. I mean, this is the phenomenon of Donald Trump, that he managed to anger both sides in his statements yesterday, which in this, you know, kabuki theater of this election year probably only means he gets more popular with his base.
That's what I brought up to Chuck Todd. And how do you know, right? How do you know? But, you would think that this would be not necessarily even the death blow, but this would really hurt him. But who knows?
Well, and look, you know, stepping aside from the politics of a very sensitive, important issue, which is abortion, you know, I respect people who have a different opinion. And the people, and I'm pro-choice. I believe very, very strongly in it. But I respect people who have a different
totally
position.
Agree.
The people who have the other position, though, in some ways are more outraged with Trump because he maligns the principle. Their point isn't to victimize or punish or put in prison women who do this. They have a moral and religious and legal opinion.
I
disagree with it. But, you know, Trump to anger the other side more than the pro-choice side, that's a hard thing to do.
Well, and again, as Todd said, Chuck Todd, you brought both sides together.
Yeah, right.
Which is
enemy
impossible.
Of my enemy is my friend.
Well, you have the head of the Susan B. Anthony Foundation, an anti-abortion spokeswoman, spent her whole career doing this, saying he has, and this is a direct quote, he has to get educated on this issue.
Well, I think that's the most important point. And you touched it. It isn't even really about abortion, because if you combine the stuff he said about foreign policy and
right.
the stuff he said about tax policy and this stuff, he's just ill-prepared to be president. And I don't think he cares. This, to me, is more and more like the dog that was chasing the car and caught it and said, oh, my goodness, what do I do now?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Maybe this isn't what I wanted.
Right.
Right.
And he has
right.
no clue.
I would also argue that women, when they're told about their uterus and their vagina and their process, are probably less likely to listen to older white guys than they have been in the past. And for him to spout off about something that he clearly hadn't thought about until it was brought up by Chris Matthews, and then to get it so wrong for the people that he is allegedly representing and for the type of person that he claims to be, it should have created the fire that it created yesterday. So, and it should be a problem for him.
I mean, it's just another point that he believes in nothing but Donald Trump, the cult of his personality. He has no principle. And this is just this destructive kind of ego trip that is, we're all along for this reality show that is this just terrible, terrible spectacle.
Yeah, and just because you hire a lot of women to work in your company doesn't mean that you support women or that you believe in the greater good of women and that you want women to do well on all levels. I think that's a contradiction. And now the other thing that continues to come up is he's not a typical politician. Well, he did exactly what a, quote, typical politician does yesterday. He says the dumb thing. He then reverses on the dumb thing, still doesn't get it right, and then does a secondary reverse and claims it never happened to begin with, never apologizing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad politician move.
Terrible. And, you know, look, to your point on women is a great one. I think I even go back to the whole Heidi Cruz thing. I mean, someone wrote a great column, I don't remember who it was, but about we're now at the point where we're, you know, in both Cruz and Trump saying we lift up women, they're objectifying them. They're all about a trophy. You know, my wife's better than your wife. My wife's smarter. My wife's hotter. I mean, we're treating women as if they're a prize.
Well, you know what? To me, as a woman, it's disrespectful from any side, Republican, Democrat. You know what? Whether you want to bring up social issues or not, make it a campaign issue, it's just disrespectful to treat women this way.
This is where the conservative Republican base continues to shoot themselves in very painful areas, and obviously not painful enough. Get out of people's bedrooms. Just get out of people's bedrooms. You know, if you think I'm wrong about this, again, I respect your opinion, but tell me how you're winning this.
I mean, the other point is if in fact we've now seen all three, Kasich, Cruz, and Trump, say we're no longer going to honor who the nominee of the Republican Party is. I mean, if you were going to write a script on how you unravel you know, a major party in this country, I don't know how you'd write it any differently than this one. And I'm not cheering this.
Dude, I'm telling you, they've ruined House of Cards for me.
Oh, my goodness, right?
I've gotten through 7 episodes of House of Cards,
yeah.
And I'm going,
right.
Big deal.
Right, right.
What I'm watching is more ridiculous.
And did you see the petition thing about the guns in Cleveland? Have you talked about that?
This is, no, we haven't. You know what? Save that. We'll do that after the traffic.
Okay.
Traffic, and then Pat Brady joins us in just a second. We'll play you the clip, too, from Trump yesterday in case you missed it, because you actually have a life and you're busy.
We respect women. We cherish women. We love women. And thank you. Okay?
Okay. Well, then I'm sorry I brought it up. We'll get to Pat Brady in just a second. Eric Adelson's here. And from your reference right before the break, so people understand, there's a petition that was started to allow open carry of your gun, your licensed gun, at the Republican convention in Cleveland. This went on to the point where there were, did you see what the signature
count?
50,000? 50,000 signatures, and finally someone at the Secret Service went, okay, knock it off. It's not going to happen. Can you imagine allowing guns with the environment that's been created in this? Well, in any race, allowing guns and then telling the Secret Service, oh, yeah, make sure you keep everybody safe.
What went through my mind at first was Wild West Town at Disneyland.
Right.
You know, you walk in and walking through the saloons with the guns. And
you know, I've been to
Yosemite Sam.
I've been to lots of Democratic convention, never been to Republican convention. This year I thought, hey, maybe I'll talk to Brady and see if I can get credentials to go this one. And then I saw that. I was like, yeah, not watch on TV.
Yeah.
I think we're going.
We're actually going to be doing the convention from Youngstown. Here's Jake Tapper from CNN talking about it last night on Late Night.
You might remember, I think it was 2004, the conventions were so boring. I was at ABC News at the time. Ted Koppel and Nightline just left. They said, this is bogus. These are just infomercials. This would actually be an actual convention. And thankfully, you noted the support, the petition on change.org. Thousands of people saying that Republicans should be able to bring guns. So thankfully, the U.S. Secret Service has said no. Because otherwise, I was planning on covering the Cleveland convention from Cincinnati.
Yeah, there you go. Youngstown, Cincinnati. Apparently, Tapper and I have the same writers, me. Let me go to Pat Brady, who is standing by on the beach in Florida, probably not wearing his pants. Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing fine. How's spring break?
It's great. I see a lot of guys my age wearing Speedos on the beach, so there ought to be some law.
Well, hopefully a new year will bring that, and whoever's running whatever at that point. All right, so you followed the news yesterday. I mean, what can you say that hasn't already been said?
He's a disaster, and I could just cut and paste everything Eric said, and I agree with. The scary thing is, if he does pull this nomination off, you know, there is a lot of anger out there, and Bernie Sanders is tapping into it, too, particularly on issues like trade. So it's scary. I'm just hoping that he's going to get pasted up in Wisconsin on Tuesday, Trump, I mean. And then we get to an open convention, we can get somebody like Kasich in there that can actually win.
So we get an open convention without guns, and then we can still go to Cleveland.
Do you believe that?
Just unbelievable.
Hello, Cleveland.
I go, I'm going to be on the floor. I'll take Eric with me, but I'm going to give him the Pat Brady name tag.
Make him a ready target. And by the way, the person that started the petition was actually someone trying to point out the lunacy of people who are a little gun crazy, as in the folks really wanted this to happen. I understand how you don't take it from thought A to thought B. Okay, you want to take your gun in because you're a proud American, you're a legal gun owner. Okay, well, what about the nut that's not you? I mean, how does that... it just makes no sense that they would allow it to get beyond where it started. Somebody brought it up. The people at change.org would go, look, we'll take anything, but we've got to draw the line on this.
Well, I sent out that tweet saying this is ridiculous. I got a lot of responses like, well, I need to protect myself. Eric, you've been to a lot of conventions. The biggest risk is getting hit by a beer.
Right. A beer, a camera swinging around, or a really boring speaker are the biggest hazards.
Exactly. So I don't get the risk there. That's not like, you know, I don't know. I don't get it.
All right, so
Pat, I get a lot of things.
Pat Brady, help me understand why Trump and Sanders have similar supporters.
Well, I think, and Eric, I'd love to get your perspective on this trade issue. They're both saying that they're kind of an anti-trade, U.S. worker first kind of speech against all these trade agreements, and it's getting some traction. I think that's what's helping Bernie, and that's kind of what's helped Trump. Although after this week and Trump proving he really does not like women, man, I just don't see how this guy can finish this out, at least at the convention.
You know, this may be a bit controversial. I'm not blaming our president for the rise of this, but one of, you know, everyone's strengths are their weaknesses. And Obama, the one thing, and by his own admission, is he won't play the cheap emotion of politics. So he's not a chess beater. He's not someone who's out there rah-rah America. And so there's this void where these guys who are demagogues, both Sanders to some extent and Trump, can rush in where there is no sort of unifying voice that says, hey, when I took office, unemployment was twice what it is today. The Dow was half what it is today. We're actually doing great things. Like, Obama won't play that game, and I think in that void, you allow this kind of anger and these kinds of feelings of you know, we're being put aside and we need to fight back. They rise to the top, and you see it on both the left and the right.
Yeah, I guess, but that's the problem, and some of it is a game, and some of it is theater, and you got to kind of play it. I agree with your analysis, but there is a group of people that really feel that the government's not out to help them, and they both tapped into it.
No question about it.
Regardless of who's running as a Republican, who's more dangerous right now, Hillary or Bernie?
Against the Republican?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Hillary's going to win the nomination. Bernie's... He's won five of the last six. Hillary's still going to win this thing.
But Bernie could win Wisconsin, right?
It's close.
Yeah, I
think he's up right now. But either way, she's going to end up winning. We're going to get some big stakes. So she's going to be it. She's got a ton of baggage, high negatives. But you know what? What we're right now, the brand of the Republican Party because of Trump is really, really bad. And it's going to take some time to fix it. And the guy I always look to, I think, is the best messenger for us is Paul Ryan. He talks about how the conservative party can solve everybody's problems. Not just the wealthy, but we're just not hearing that right now.
Pat, if Trump continues, well, I guess it depends on how you look at it. If he continues on the path that he's taking and loses Wisconsin, who does this tend to bode better for, Cruz or Kasich at this point, or somebody else?
I think it's good for America and the Republican Party because it means we're going to, I think for certain, have an open convention. I don't necessarily agree with Chuck Todd's analysis on it. It helps Cruz. I think if this gets to an open convention, there's so much dislike, and I'm not bashing Ted Cruz, but there's so much institutional dislike of Ted Cruz that in the kind of hierarchical structure and who the delegates are, that, you know, this opens it up truly and gives Kasich an opportunity. I know it's a long shot, but I think the dynamic will be completely different on the second vote than it was on the first.
Pat, what about this rule that you have to have won seven states, whatever, to have your name put in nomination? Can they change that rule after the first ballot so Kasich had his chance?
Yeah, what that rule, if you talk to the real experts like Ben Ginsburg, they'll change that rule. There's a RNC Rules Committee meeting coming up here next month. But that rule they put in there just to keep Rand Paul from creating a ruckus last time around. But, you know, and when you read that and hear that, it kind of angers him. Like, why are you doing that? Why did you need to set this up? And now it's coming back to bite him. But long answer to your question, that rule 40 they call it's not going to be in effect.
So in effect, if there's no majority on the first ballot, it really is anybody could be put in nomination at that point.
Yeah, it doesn't go automatically. Not everybody's released. It's state by state. I think after the first ballot, close to 60% of the delegates are released. But right now, it's hand-to-hand combat for these delegates. It's going on in every state. Because like in Wisconsin, 15 of them are superdelegates. You got to put guys in there for Cruz or Kasich that aren't going to stay with Trump on the second ballot. That's going across all 50 states. So it's really hand-to-hand combat on the delegates.
Yeah, and Rubio, by the way, has sent out letters to make sure that he keeps his delegate so that further forces the possibility of a convention. Or a contested convention.
A lot of that's ruled by the states, like Minnesota.
Every state, right? Every state has their own set of rules.
Yeah, he can do that, but I'm not sure if it makes a difference.
All right. Well, get home safe. Thanks for calling.
All right, thanks, guys. See ya.
All right, Hillary and Bernie, you're still confident Hillary's fine?
I do. I mean, you know, every time you think she's on a glide path, he wins a bunch of states. But if you look at the calendar coming up, the big states coming up, they really favor New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland. These are diverse states where her numbers have been huge in like states in previous primaries. So I think on the between the 19th and the 26th, there's going to be about 700 more delegates pledged. And there's a pretty good chance that he gets locked out at that point.
Last question. Any money problems for her going forward because it's taken her so long to put Bernie away?
I mean, it doesn't help, but I think, you know, as they say, Trump and Cruz are both turnout machines for our side. They're also fundraising machines where I think the amount of angst that both those guys create will allow her to replenish pretty quickly.
Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
How do people stay in touch with you?
Adel 64, and the company is AL Media.
Okay. And even though you're not actually technically doing the commercials for Hillary's campaign, are you just going to put them together today for fun?
I mean, it is, right? It's just sport at this point. So
nice to see you, man. Thanks for coming by.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to Dean. Happy birthday to Dean. Happy birthday to Dean.
This is the only Greek I know.
Happy birthday, happy birthday to Dean.
Oh, very nice, very nice.
How's my Greek?
You know, the word birthday comes from the Greek word birthday apolopoulos, elopoulos.
Oh, I didn't know that. I did not know that.
It's true.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you.
You share your birthday with many big names.
No, there's one that will never be any bigger. I don't care who else is on my birthday. And believe me, I've got a Herb Alpert and a Richard Chamberlain sharing. But the bigger birthday today, one Mr. Orion Samuelson.
That's exactly right.
Do not get any bigger than that.
We'll talk to Orion next Gabe hour Kaplan, if he's still taking
Mr.
your
Kata,
call.
Mr. Kata, also yeah. a March 31st-er.
Yeah, March 31st. And speaking of March 31st, makes me think of your mom. And
what?
Well, because she had to give birth to you.
She did. Yeah, she was screaming. Yeah.
Why? Why me? Why?
I've already done this three times. Why do we need to do this again?
So how is she feeling?
She is doing remarkably well. The reason that I wasn't on yesterday was that, and this is just even amazing to me to even say that she had her aortic valve in her heart replaced yesterday. She had some significant major blockage, and they do this surgery where, you know, they don't crack you open. It's not open heart surgery. So, you know, the woman's 93 years
old.
Yeah,
they do it through your ear.
She's got yogurt to make. She doesn't have time, right. You know, for that sort of thing. They go through like the arteries in your leg through your groin.
Isn't that amazing?
Something. It's and they do all this. She's got a cow's valve in there now.
Everybody's doing it.
Right. And, you know, after the surgery, like an hour after the surgery, she's talking. She's awake.
That's unbelievable.
She was mooing a little bit. That was weird.
Right. But that'll be good for the yogurt business.
That's very true.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah. But, yeah, she's doing fantastic.
All right. Good. Because we're concerned. Shirley Jones is on your birthday?
Shirley Jones is on
Rhea Perlman?
Rhea Perlman, I did not know that.
Yeah,
Carla,
I'm looking at the list.
Cheers.
Now. Yeah. Vice President Gore.
Oh, I did know that one.
Yeah.
You know, he invented the internet.
Yeah, I knew that. Gordie Howe.
He invented the internet also.
Christopher Walken.
Did know that. I do remember that. Christopher Walken, yes.
And then two very similar musicians, Angus Young from AC/DC and Johann Sebastian Bach.
Really?
Yeah, both on your birthday.
I didn't know that.
You know, it's not my birthday. Did I mention this? Albert Einstein.
Well, you know, that's to be expected.
I don't know. People said that was the before and after. Yeah, he and I.
You can travel Chicago. You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor.
Sponsored by the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Health Care Center. Back to Dean. You know, I was off for a couple days, Dean.
I missed you very much.
And you as well. Ask me what I did.
Steve, you know, I noticed you were off the last couple of days. Yeah. I was wondering what it was that you were doing.
I got food poisoning.
What?
Yeah, it was a good time. I don't think I've had food poisoning since 1983.
Violent food poisoning?
Not pleasant. Not pleasant at all.
Explosive food poisoning?
It wasn't a good day.
So here's the question. Do you say you'll never eat whatever it was again?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the dilemma. Mm-hmm. My sister is nice enough to take me out for sushi. On my birthday.
Oh, boy.
We're scheduled to do that tomorrow because we haven't been able to do it since then. Guess what made me sick?
Sushi.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Really?
Yeah, I bought it I don't want to say what store, but a high-end grocery store where they make it fresh and then they package it right in front of you.
You want to say what it rhymes with?
Well, I think you could probably narrow it down.
I'm getting a text from the legal department right now saying, no, they don't want to know what it rhymes with.
Yeah, I think you could narrow it down.
Not a fan of sushi that you get in a self-serve counter. I love sushi. I've been
eating. Right, but you want to made it by forever. People with dirty hands behind
the
scenes.
I want to see the people with the dirty hands making it behind the counter.
I know people in this building that eat sushi from Walgreens across the street.
I've tried their sushi.
It's supposed to be very good.
I've had it.
Well, you just said you don't eat it.
Well, no, I just said that I'm a little. I'm always a little scared of it.
Oh, you'll eat it. You're just afraid.
I check the dates. You know, you have to be careful with those because you don't know how long it's been in the counter. But I've, you know, for our good sponsor and one of our fine advertisers.
We love Walgreens. No, we love Walgreens.
I love. Are you kidding?
Hey, by the way, it wasn't
I'd
Walgreens.
I eat dog food out of their counter, Steve.
I didn't. It wasn't Walgreens where I got this sushi.
No,
it was
you said
a high-end grocery store. Yeah. That I don't normally go to.
You know where I don't eat sushi?
Where?
Gas stations.
That's probably where you go. That's why preservatives are so important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Stick with beef jerky, kids. All right. So can I ask you about a movie?
Sorry that you weren't feeling well. Yes, please.
All right. And there's a new movie coming out this weekend, and it's called Everybody Wants Some. Is that right?
Everybody Wants Some.
And this is Richard Linklater?
It's Richard Linklater, who's the director who gave us that film Boyhood that he shot over, I forget how many years. 12 years, was it, that he shot that movie?
Right.
Not to mention, you know, an amazing body of work prior to that. But it's an 80s throwback film. I'm actually going to see it today. I haven't seen it yet. But everybody's telling me that if you grew up in the 80s, you got to see this movie.
Well, there you go. Andrea Darlis.
I'm in. Yeah. I'm in.
Batman versus Superman.
I was driving to the hospital, you know, for my mom's surgery, I was listening to Andrea and everybody doing the entertainment report yesterday.
How'd that go?
Well, mostly we know that Dave Ennett knows the words by heart from the Patty Duke Show theme.
That's right.
Yeah, we struggled without you, Dean.
That's what we learned. But also, somebody, I forgot who said it, said that that Batman Superman didn't do well. Made $170 million in it.
No, I didn't say that. I said I wanted to see it.
I thought it wasn't me. I thought I heard somebody say it.
We said Nick didn't like it.
Yeah, we said Nick didn't like it.
Nick doesn't like it, but Nick finds the worst movie he's ever seen in his whole life almost every day.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
That is true.
That's a very good point.
But it's funny, the movies that Nick doesn't like, the classics, Ferris Bueller. Yeah.
But his favorite movie is Magnolia.
That's just
depressing.
One person's taste, though. I mean, I respect that's his, his taste. But really,
he said he would like Bambi if Bambi were shot.
There wasn't enough violence in Bambi.
So Batman versus Superman killed it at the box office, and you think it's fine?
I think it's fine. It's a little bit long, but honestly, of like regular normal people, I have yet to talk to anybody who didn't come out of it and have a good time.
Well, you know why they're fighting. Lois Lane's a whore. It's out there.
Okay,
it's true.
Trump.
It's true story. Whoopi Goldberg's getting in the weed business?
Why not? It's not just like regular weed business. You know, a lot of people are opening up these medical marijuana things. I know you'll be shocked to hear that Snoop Dogg has gotten into the weed business. And the Bob Marley...
I didn't know he was ever out of it.
I don't think he knows it either. The Bob Marley family also has gotten into the weed business. But this is an interesting take on what Whoopi Goldberg is doing. She's opened up a company called Whoopi and Maya. It will be 4 cannabis-infused products targeted toward women suffering menstrual pain and cramps.
Okay.
So there will be a marijuana bath soak, marijuana sipping chocolate, marijuana balm, and marijuana tincture. I'm not sure what that
tincture?
Is. Tincture?
I think it's tincture.
Did you say balm or bong?
Balm.
Oh, like lip balm. Okay.
B-A-L-M.
Okay. Mm.
So these products that you can use that are...
They're cramp and pain alleviating?
They are apparently cramp and pain alleviating. Whoopi says that she, her daughter, and her granddaughter all have like monstrously horrible pain. This relieves it, and they wanted to share it with others.
I've never known anybody that's gone through it to that level, and it always sounds bad when grown men are talking about this, so... Mary, Andre, you know anybody that would use this? The whoopee cushion?
That's what they should have called it.
That's a great
pot?
Idea.
I wouldn't. I'm not.
Do you know anybody
thing.
That's gone through that kind of pain?
I do.
Okay. How about you, Mary? You know anybody?
Yeah, well, maybe they would.
Okay.
I don't know. Whoopi endorses
just,
it.
You guys just trying to get drugs? Is that your story?
Trying to get some balm.
Steve, you know, you and I can't relate to this way, but wouldn't we enjoy sitting around having a nice hot chocolate?
Sipping chocolate, as it's called?
Sipping chocolate, as it's called. Wouldn't we enjoy that to have that in a 90-pound bag of Fritos?
Let me tell you something.
I think the greatest thing about this story is if Whoopi shares it with all the women on The View and they talk even more and become more paranoid.
That would make the greatest television show in the history of television.
I think the greatest visual of that is picturing you and Dean and your...
And Whoopi?
And your silk, you know, smoking
and
jackets.
And giant muumuus.
Right.
Sipping Fritos. Chocolate.
Yeah. Smoking and eating Pringles and Fritos.
Ooh, Steve, this chocolate is just delicious.
Divine.
I think this chocolate's following me. Dean is sponsored by the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Healthcare Center. But before you go, this is shocking. Kim Kardashian is apparently topless on the internet.
I cannot believe this. Apparently, it's been a couple of weeks now since she's released those nearly nude selfies.
You know what would be a hot photo of her to see? Her in clothes. I just like to see her wear something. Like to see her like in a parka. I'd go, man, that's a good looking girl.
I can't imagine that. I can't even imagine what that must look like. This time she got together with actress Emily Ratajkowski, and they what they're saying is that their topless photo that they put on, they're topless and they're giving the camera the one finger peace sign salute, that it is an anti-body shaming message. They say that we are more than just our bodies. We don't have to be ashamed about our bodies, Steve, nor our sexuality.
Okay, Emily Ratajkowski, who got famous from the Blurred Lines video, and Kim Kardashian, who got famous from a sex tape, at what point were they ashamed of their bodies? You know, this is like, I don't know. This is like having Donald Trump as a spokesman for women's rights. I just don't get it. Come on.
All I'm going to say is if you're shocked by this story, please do not Google Steve Cochran, Dean Richards, photo shoot.
It's true.
Because there's even a more shocking topless photo.
And we were both ashamed of our bodies.
Hold on.
Sipping hot chocolate.
We were both ashamed of our bodies, and we wanted people to know.
we wanted people to share on our complete shame.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Bye. That's Dean, and we got Coach Q coming up in just a few minutes. A big story next.
When my fist clenches, crack it open before I use it, lose my cool. When I smile, tell me some bad news before I laugh and act like a fool.
Well, if it's a who, it's got to be Coach Q. Coach Q, sponsored by Hooters, America's original wing joint. And by the way, it's not just a wing joint. Hooters is a way of life. Coach Joe Quenneville joins us now on what's been a very busy time to be the boss of the Blackhawks. Good morning, man. How are you?
Doing good. Good.
Good to talk to you. All right. When will we know about Duncan Keith's number? When does the league announce that?
I don't even think they've announced when the hearing is. So okay. I think that's I'm not sure exactly. I think the protocol is through Stan and then to the player and the player agent and then the PA. So I think
so you go forward planning on him being there tomorrow night and through the weekend? Until further notice, I guess.
I'm not planning on him tomorrow night.
Oh, you're not? Okay.
No.
And then Corey Crawford, we're hearing all sorts of stuff about Corey Crawford. Is there any update that you can talk about?
We're thinking there's a little progress. To me, the progress I'm looking for is see him on the ice.
Yeah,
we get that, we'll get a better idea of what it's going to take to start playing again. So it's a he's feeling closer to getting on the ice, and that's what we're hopeful here. And maybe today we'll get a better idea once we see him here later this morning.
You know, I'm a big Scott Darling fan. I know you guys are, and fans are, and he's got a great life story and stuff. How do you break down what's happened recently in goal? Is any of this on him?
Our goaltending has been fine. I think you look at that trip, gave up one goal, and it's a 1-1 game in the third period. So he's doing what he can to get us points. And you know, he played one ordinary game out of the last five he's been in, or six he's been in. So we've been, he's been fine. Goaltending is, it's been one of the most consistent parts of our game all year long.
Joe, let's go, and I'm by nature an optimist, so I hate to do this, but worst case scenario, if you do lose Keith for a while, what does that do to this team, especially coming at this point in the season where you've got five games to go and you're still not sure where you're going to be as far as playoff position?
You know, we want to make sure that our team game is is better, and we were looking to shore that up. We'd love to move up if we could, but it doesn't look like moving up is going to be that's going to be a tough chore in itself. Staying ahead, you got Nashville, 4 points back. Anything can happen there, but we want to make sure in these five games that we're playing the right way and get some confidence, get some enthusiasm going into the playoffs. We want to make sure that everybody's playing. We want four lines, you know, that more balance in the ice time going into it, and you know, and you get no matter who you want to talk about, you want to make sure that consistency and you're feeling good, you're fresh, you're ready to go. So we'll try to keep that freshness part of the theme, trying to get our game A+, knowing that that's what it's going to take to win this year. But we need to get it going here.
I know Steve asked you about Corey. I don't think you asked about Artem Anisimov, who's missed the last couple of games. How far away is he?
Well, no, today, you know, hopefully he practices today. And if he practices today, we expect him to be playing tomorrow. So he's not, this is short term here. And Steve's as well was, you know, we expect them both hopefully to be practicing today. And we're looking for a full lineup outside of Crow.
And Keith, who gets those minutes? Any idea?
Shared by a number of guys. We'll say everybody's going to play more. Last game with 5D, and you know, you got to kill a 5-minute penalty right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Some big minutes by a lot of guys that you know, I felt that our defensively we played a strong game and we didn't give up a ton of chances, and we feel that against the Minnesotas, and no matter who we play, cutting down and playing a low chance game really enhances our chances. And the defense core, you know, Gustafsson will get a chance to get back in the lineup, and you know, we'll get Victor Svedberg back there playing some minutes, which we want him to get going here and getting back up to speed at the NHL level. And we like his reach, we like his size, and his presence as well.
What have you seen so far from Erhoff?
He's been all right. He's had some good in his game. I think with the puck, he does some decent things, and he generates some offense from the back end, which we like. And, you know, I think he adds depth to our team.
Kane and Panarin cooled off big time. Anything special going on there?
I don't know. They're getting chances in games, you know, playing with a different center. I thought they generated a lot in the Vancouver game, not so much in Minnesota, but that's, you know, no matter what line or team, when you play Minnesota, you know, there's not going to be abundance of scoring chances. But I like the way they started generating a little bit more what they've been doing all year in that Vancouver game, whether it's getting on a little bit of a roll here going to the end of the year. But, they, you know, they're getting a lot of attention and focus, and, you know, we want to make sure that there's feeling good about it when, right at the end of the year here before we start.
Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed, you've had some success at this coaching thing. So what's your philosophy with the regular season versus the postseason? Is it the one game at a time thing, no matter where you are? Or can you literally drop the mic on the regular season and go, okay, now it's postseason, it's a completely different thing?
Well, our guys know the importance of games, and it's not like we pick our spots. I mean, we feel that we start on time. We're competitive as heck. We want to be the best we can day in, day out. And at the same time, you know, the bigger the occasion, the bigger the stage, it seems like there's a great response. And I think that's the competitive nature of our guys, to know that, you know, it's time. And I think that I can't say that we're going along here at that game seven mentality, but I still think we're working, we're trying, we're doing the best we can, and we're getting close to that game seven mentality. And I think that they know the difference, and I think that's basically where we're at right now.
Any particular feel in regards to how big a challenge this period is versus any other time you've had with the Hawks?
No, very comparable. I don't see it any different than the last 3 or 4 years at this time of the year in this position.
You know, I've got a problem here I need your help with.
Okay.
You know, Kevin Powell, who you talk to every week, you know, produces this show forever, is moving to the Rokan show to do sports. Doing a really good job, and we're happy for him. And, you know, I want the kid to have all the success in the world. So that's a good thing. And Ross Cochran left the show for a business career. So I've got some important minutes I need to have picked up. I mean, who should I be looking for? I mean, am I looking for a gamer? Am I looking for, because, you know, I mean, who do you like in those two roles?
Well, I think you need a little bit of. We don't really want politician type, right?
No. We want straight shooters.
Yeah, right. We want to be. We want to. You know, guys that like. You know, like a guy like Shazzy tells it the way it is. Somebody like that.
So I need somebody in there that's willing to punch somebody in the face for the sake of this show if they need to.
Well, you got the guy. Shazzy's the guy. I just volunteered him.
All right, so we'll take some minutes from Shazzy, and we're going to have to pick up somebody else. But I just think, you know, maybe I bring you in on the interviews for the new staff.
Well, whatever it takes. What I can do to help you.
Yeah, because all you have to do is just sit there and just sigh a couple of times and then turn away in disgust. And I think the message will be delivered.
Yeah. That'd be a nice interview process.
So, it's Coach Joel Quenneville, sponsored by Hooters, America's Wing Joint. One more shot from you, Dave Ennick.
Well, let's talk about going back to Winnipeg tomorrow night, because you were just there, and that was one of your better games, I think, in the month of March. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, we had a little stretch here. I mean, we went on the road here. We were doing all right prior to the last period in Minnesota. But I thought we played a real good, strong game in Winnipeg, playing the right way. Did a comparable game. I thought Calgary, we were all right. Vancouver, we were better. And for 40 minutes, we were fine. So I think we want to make sure we're playing a road game where it's, low checking affair, not a lot of scoring chances, and work our way through the game. And that's what we did last time in Winnipeg. Laddie had a good night. That line was good. And then we're excited about that line coming in as well.
I got to tell you, the two guys I'm having the most fun watching lately are Ladd and Hossa. Yeah. Hossa's all over the ice.
Yeah.
And he's kept me Mr. Shorthand this year. But Ladd is getting great chances as well. So, the two older guys having nothing but fun out there.
Well, I'm sure they like playing together. That line, they get important minutes. And I thought Hoss had a great night the other day in Minnesota, scored sitting on 500. And he plays both ways. And Laddie, I'm sure, is excited about getting back into Winnipeg and had a nice game last time. I'm sure he's looking forward to tomorrow night as well.
How does a guy Hoss's age play that hard and get those kind of minutes in? I mean, he ought to be on the couch looking for the remote.
Some old guys that have played the game. I think of Kelly Yost right away. Now, this year, a lot of talk about Jagr and his age and his production at this stage of his career, which is pretty remarkable. A host, it's up to him. I mean, he can go as long as he wants to. I mean, his pace of his game hasn't slowed down one bit. And he plays the right way. He knows how to play. He's strong in the puck. And so it's... it could be, who knows, but it's certainly, he loves coming to the rink, loves playing, wants to be on the ice, and can't ask for anything more than that.
Steve, don't underestimate older guys.
Well, I'm not just talking about you, Dave. I'm talking about the big picture stuff. Coach Q, have fun tomorrow night. Glad to hear you. Give us confidence talking to you. We want this team to do as well as you do, and you give us confidence.
All right. Enjoy.
All right, buddy. All the best.
Hey, thanks.
That's Coach Joel Quenneville from your Chicago Blackhawks, who's going to help me with the interview process to replace Kevin and Ross.
Coach
nice
Q,
of him,
yeah.
With all his free time.
Yeah. And again, we're doing a nationwide search. No stone left unturned until we find the right people.
How do you think, though, that'll help the confidence of those you're interviewing if Q looks away and shakes his head in disgust?
I think sets the bar at a certain level of expectation. Before we get to the final hour of today's show number 618, which will feature Ro Khan, or as I like to call him, the thief, there is other criminality in the news. But it's more stupidity, I suppose.
Is there more criminality than Ro? Ro's stealing? His thievery?
Yeah. Thankfully, the Egypt Air hijacking the other day ended without people being hurt. However, it didn't end without two idiot flight crew members taking selfies with the hijacker who allegedly had a bomb strapped to his body. Now, the bomb turned out to be not real, but at the time, they didn't know that. A second selfie has emerged overnight last night of a member of the cabin crew, female flight attendant named Naira Atef. She's seen smiling, standing next to the hijacker who clearly has wires emerging from under his shirt and a bomb, an alleged bomb, around his belt. Yeah, do you go up to the hijacker and go, hey, can I get a selfie?
And she's smiling.
Yeah, exactly. The man, 58-year-old Egyptian, last name is Mostafa, displays what appears to be a suicide bomb belt. Later on, it was determined to be a fake, and he was trying to get the attention of his ex-wife, who was she a member of the flight crew as well? I think she was. Or worked for the airline?
Worked for the airline, I think.
A British man who caused online debate on Wednesday after having his picture taken with a hijacker, saying he did it to take a closer look at the belt,
A guy named Ben Innes, 26, posed for a photo grinning next to the hijacker and then sent the picture to his friends. Innes from Leeds in Northern England told The Sun, "I'm not sure why I did it. I just threw caution to the wind. I was trying to stay cheerful in the face of adversity. I figured if his bomb was real, I'd have nothing to lose anyway."
And by the way, these aren't selfies. I'm sorry to, you know.
What are you talking about?
Well, selfie is when you hold the camera up yourself and you take a picture. She's yeah, clearly.
I don't think that's the point.
But I know, but think about it. She had to ask someone, "Hey, can you take our picture?"
Take the picture.
So you have three people involved in this disaster
right.
now.
Right. Well, and it's just idiotic. I mean, you think about it. Who would be stupid enough to side with the bad guys?
You use a gun, I use a fountain pen. What's the difference? Let's put it in my terms. You're here in a hostile takeover. You grab us for some green mail, but you didn't expect some poison pill was going to be running around in the building. Am I right? Hans, Bobby, I'm your white knight.
Fortunately, the hijacking ended a little better than it did for Bobby.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
Stones reminds me of the weekend. I was in Havana with the Stones. Keith Richards thought we were in Tinley Park. You know, I mean, he's confused. Stones had a historic concert last Friday night in Cuba. And then Fidel broke bad on Obama. Did you see that? These are all things that happened while I was out. You think Fidel just like woke up from like a 3-day nap and went, "Who is here? I didn't approve this." Because Raul's the little brother. A little brother running the country. You went to a baseball game with him? Come on. From the weekend, I also want to thank the people that came out to the Wilmette Theater again. That was on Saturday night. And it sold it out. It was great. And Andrea did her first ever stand-up comedy. How do you feel afterwards?
You know what, when I was on stage, I called it terrifyingly wonderful because I was scared to death.
It's a good summation.
I really stepped out of my comfort zone because, you know, I don't mind speaking in front of people. We do it every day. We do it for events and emceeing events.
It's different than telling people I'm funny and now you can laugh.
Right, and please laugh. So when when I heard the first little bit of laughter, which wasn't from my family because I had people in my family kind of planted throughout. No, they were in the front. That was a little... It was nerve-wracking as well. Sure. But when I heard the first set of laughter, I thought, okay, good. I thought, they like me, like Sally Field said.
Right, they like me, they really like me. Now, Dave, you were there. What is your critical review?
Oh, I thought Andrea was excellent. I thought Kevin did a great job. I think that Irwin, the 94-year-old man sitting in front of me, was very funny.
He was great.
Yeah, he was strong.
He joined in on John DeCosta's bit. But no, I thought Andrea did great. I thought she was composed. She had a lot of poise.
She looked fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, you guys.
That dress was unbelievable.
I figured if I wasn't going to make people laugh, at least I would try and look nice.
You look fabulous. And Kevin and Ross did a nice job as well.
Very funny.
And there was a weird setup on the stage. And the stage is you know, it's a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
And the stage is, and they do other things in there, but the stage is pretty high. So you're kind of, and the screen's above the stage, obviously. But you're kind of looking down at the audience as opposed to normally in stand-up, it's a lower stage.
Right.
So the lights were such that the lights were kind of blinding, as you saw. So we had this, the stage was set up to do a play there.
Yes.
So you had to walk up this set of steps without a railing and then walk down two steps. And you did it in heels.
Right.
But when you walked up, I had you use me as a rail.
I did. You said you literally, thank you for your chivalry, by the way. You said just use me as a rail.
I just leaned down and had her walk up my back, basically.
You did.
But when I came, what you guys don't know is when I came off stage, because you go from the lights in your eyes, when I came off stage into the dark, I missed a step. And I fell the last two steps, and before I fell down, I grabbed this pole to catch myself, and the pole nearly tore down the entire backdrop.
Now, no.
Yeah, I was able to pull myself up without doing it, but that would have been a nice way to end the show.
Well, end it with a bang.
But we've got a number of shows coming up. DeCosta is in tomorrow, I believe, but we're going to start announcing a number of shows for the balance of the year. And we're going to do another one of these late night to me talk shows at the Zanies in Rosemont.
Cool.
With special guests.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, so it'll be good. So one of the things we discussed, Dave, was you doing stand-up comedy.
I did hear that discussed, yes.
I mean, Kevin has done it. Ross mm-hmm. has done it. Andre mm-hmm. has done it.
Mm-hmm.
You and Mary are really the only ones left on the show who haven't decided to go through the gauntlet.
All right. You've already had, let's count them up. Anna, Ross, Kevin, they've all left the show. Do you really want two more people to leave?
Mm-hmm. No, I really don't. No, I like you guys, and I'd like you to stay. Andrea,
is this like something evil you have to have us all do just to say?
No, honestly, you brought it up, right? Didn't you bring it up? You wanted to try it?
A couple of years ago?
You didn't feel like you were forced into it?
No. Not at all. No, I mentioned it to you, I think, a while ago, and then I make these offhand comments to John, and he said, you're funny, you should try it. And then I got the invitation. I thought, I'm just going to do it. And thank God it went okay.
I would try it. I would try it under the right conditions.
And that would be that I wrote your jokes and DeCoste wrote your jokes. And
there's no audience.
And there's no audience.
That's a good start.
That would be perfect.
But I think Mary and I together as a team, I think, could be kind of funny.
Like Stiller and Mira?
Something
of vibe.
Like that.
Yeah, Rowan and Martin.
Pretty funny. Yeah.
Actually, writing stuff for you two as a couple would be very amusing to me.
Oh, would you do our material?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, that
what
would
do you
be
think,
good.
Mayor?
If he would write it, yeah. But wait.
But that's half the battle. No. Half the battle is writing your own
jokes.
Yeah,
we could write it.
Because you got to bring some personal things into it, right?
Listen, because it worked out with Andrea doesn't mean I trust the two of you to write material.
I know. You know, the audience knows everything about us anyway. Right, Dave?
Pretty much. Me,
they seem, and they're always friendly people. They're
very
all nice.
Forgiving.
Yeah.
Mary admitted she naps regularly in the car. Dave admitted he's got a minor drinking problem. I mean, you know, all of it's out
little
there.
Things
it's
like
out there. They know about our kids. They know what they do.
It's part of, you know, just connecting with the audience. So they know that Kevin's leaving the show.
Oh, man.
It's the other big news from today.
So does he still get to do stand-up even though he's leaving the show?
No, he's done. No, he's dead to me.
Oh, he's okay.
Kevin... No, Kevin will be doing stand-up. We're slots open for the rest of the year.
Ross and Kevin are out. Dave and Mary in.
Well, Ross is my son, so I've got to still talk to him.
True.
Though you can tell I'm very angry. Can you tell?
Now, if he hadn't had Abigail yet, would you have a different answer?
See, this is where it gets dicey because I can't. This is like when I dance. When I dance, I can't. I can dance because, you know, as a black entertainer, it's part of my heritage. But when I dance, I can't dance for long without goofing.
Mm.
Because, you know, I feel like, okay, I gotta do something stupid now because I got to goof on it. This is the same thing. I'm trying to say something nice about Kevin and Ross, but I got to be Mr. Weisenheimer here. So let me just stop and pause again and say that I'm very proud of Kevin. And Ro Khan will be on in a little while. He's going to be doing sports for Ro and along with additional baseball coverage. And it's a great break for him, you know, on this largest radio station in the country, on WGN. We don't hand out jobs left and right here. But to lose Ross and Kevin in just a couple of weeks, yeah, it's tough. Those are big shoes to fill.
Plus, it's got to be hard for you mentally. You lose your son, a boy who's like a son. Sound like
I lose my actual son and the other one who's like a son.
Aww. Sorry, I meant to make you feel better.
No, so we're going to find two terrific people to replace them, who frankly have more skills, as soon as possible. But Kevin's going to be great. And, you know, it's like anybody else. If somebody comes to you, Dave, and you've seen this a million times, somebody comes to you, especially in this business, and they go, I want to do something else, but I don't want to leave, you can't have them around. They have to leave.
They have to fly the nest.
Yeah.
They do. They have to give it a shot.
Did he say, Papa, can you hear me?
No, if he called me Pop, it'd be a problem. By the way, a question came up a couple of minutes ago, and that is if Ro doesn't like Kevin, you know, and the honeymoon period's over, or if Kevin screws up, can he have his job back? Yeah, no. It's 9:19. No, well, you know, he's dead to me. It's 9:19. We're back after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:22, back to you, Andre. What's happening in Peoria?
Well, quick update, Steve. Parts of the Peoria airport being evacuated. They found a suspicious package during screenings this morning. So, again, they don't think anything is wrong, but they did want to evacuate as a precaution. This according to WMBD in Peoria. They are evacuating the airport. after finding what they're calling a suspicious package. So we'll let you know when traffic resumes.
Let's get Peter Greenberg on in the next couple of days, either Friday or Monday, to talk about what's going to change even more when it comes to airport security after what happened in Belgium. Because, you know, there's going to be additional measures and additional considerations. But the point we made after the Brussels travesty the other day is if you take security and you move it to the entrance to the airport, you know, where ticketing is and all of that,
right?
And you tell people you can't get in without, you know, the access to a ticket. Like, right. If you're not flying on the plane, you're not even getting in. So then you're telling people you got to meet them outside. You know, what are you doing about meeting kids, about meeting older people who are flying, that type of thing? Take that off the boards. How far out are you going to move it? Because you could have the guy with the bomb outside, you know, the baggage claim area or outside drop off.
Or in a car.
Yeah, or a drive-by in a car. A car just pulls up and then suddenly it's over. You move it out to the parking garage and you blow it up. I mean, you know, you can't. It's, if somebody wants to do the worst thing, they're going to find a way to do it. And the best way to stop them is what we know is a tried and true method since 9/11. And that's if you see something, say something, even if you think it's silly. You can report anything anonymously. And, you know, you could have stuff like this where maybe it turns out to be nothing. Or you could have a suspicious package, which is somebody stands up and they go to get a beverage from the gift shop. Or they run to the bathroom and they think it's okay to leave their bag there for a second. And suddenly it's an incident. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's annoying. But we live in a world now where all that stuff has to be checked out.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And that's why, too, and we can check with Peter on this as well, that's why there's so many delays lately, too. It used to be you get on the plane, you board, you take off. Now do you notice, if you've flown recently, you sit for a while because TSA does one more scan, one more circle of the plane.
I tell you, I remember vividly, my mom had severe rheumatoid arthritis and, you know, near the end in a wheelchair. And I remember vividly telling the airlines I'd be much more comfortable because she was flying alone and meeting her brother. This is before cell phones. And I said I'd be much more comfortable if I could wheel her on the plane.
Right.
I didn't have a ticket. I wasn't going on the flight. They let me take her on the plane. So I imagine this world today. I don't have a ticket. I wheel her down the tarmac. I get her set up in the seat, you know, make sure she's comfortable, stand there. Goofing around with the flight attendants.
You leave the plane.
And then eventually, you know, they're going to fire up the engines. You ready to leave, Tom? All right, then I walk off.
All right, bye, guys.
There's never, ever a scenario where that's going to happen.
No, not at all. And do you notice, too, when you pick people up at the airport now, it used to be right by the gate. You can't do that. You have to get through almost to the baggage claim area, right before baggage claim, and that's where people can meet you.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a whole new world, right? Producer Sandberg, what's up with you? There you are.
Yeah, because if you flew as a child, you know, like my dad would walk us on the plane, get us set up, and then he could head out. But I think what we should do is, you know, like if the Bears are flying, the players drive to Halas, they get screened there, and then they hop on a bus and cruise to the airport. So maybe all passengers could go to Halas Hall, be screened there.
You may have something there. What if you had a security system where passengers had to go, I know it sounds insane, but passengers had to go to a remote screening area before they were given access to the plane.
Well, that's kind of like a TSA pre-check. Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
It would weed out people. Probably they would find it a hassle and they would just drive. I don't want those people on the plane anyway because they probably are the carry-on people anyway. Right. So.
The carry-on people. That's a new short film she's working on.
Ask Orion about the carry-on people sometime.
Orion Samuelson, Mr. Birthday Boy, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, you fly more than any of us. And
well, I'm not sure I fly more than any of you. I know Dave does a lot of flying. But, yeah, I have some strong feelings about how airlines can fix some of the things because they go out of their way now to not make it fun to fly.
Yeah, it used to be an event. It used to be cool. You know, even if you're flying for business, I remember when I used to fly all the time. I mean, every week. And, you know, I was working in L.A., I was working in New York, I had different things going on. And it was never a hassle to get on a plane.
No.
Now you dread it.
And I'm starting to agree with Orion, too. Do you guys notice that, you know, when you have a carry-on, you have your purse, maybe a little duffel bag or
Orion
something.
Orion doesn't carry a purse.
No, I know. Orion, you don't. But a small bag. What they're allowed to bring now on the plane, it's as big as luggage.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It is. And my, you know, when I own all the airlines, two things will stop immediately. Seats will not recline.
Amen to that.
And there'll be no charge for checked luggage, but I'm going to charge for every carry-on.
It makes total sense.
It certainly does.
Charge for carry-ons. It makes total sense. Yeah, the airline's going to have a little less revenue, but you're going to have happier passengers. And that part in the bottom of the plane will actually be used for luggage, which is what the plane was built to do. Ridiculous.
And, you know, when I see a lady with a bag that she's having trouble lifting, my motto is, if you can't lift it, check it.
That's exactly right.
That's true.
Yeah.
But everybody's more important than everybody else, right?
Yeah.
I got to get my stuff first. I got to get off first. Ugh, God.
Yep.
How are you, birthday boy?
Well, I'm doing very well. Thank you. It's a cool morning in the desert. We're at 53 degrees in Scottsdale, Arizona.
That's probably about what it is here, right?
Yeah, right. It's cool for this time of the year. I think we'll warm up to the mid-70s today, and then by Sunday we'll be back into the 90s. But I'm having a great morning so far.
And what are you doing for your birthday?
Well, tonight, dinner, my daughter is here, and two very good friends that Gloria has known for a long time. I've known for quite a while. And we're going to Lon's at Hermosa Inn, which is our favorite white tablecloth restaurant, out on the patio, and just beautiful flowers. Just a very nice place. So we'll be doing dinner there tonight.
Producer Jake here wants to know if they're putting a Jameson's in since you're in the desert.
Haven't convinced them to do that yet, but, you know, they say there are 400,000 Chicagoans living in the valley.
Right.
And, of course, Phoenix is now the fourth largest city in the United States when you take the surrounding metro area. And so it would seem to make sense to me to put a Jameson's out here. We have a Portillo's, we have a Culver's, and I think Jameson's would make a lot of sense. And I'd be the maitre d'.
It'd be a good look for you. Stand by. We need you for business here in a couple of minutes. Orion Samuelson's birthday today. It's 8, make it 9:29. We're back with the big story next on 720 WGN. This is the worst version of this I've ever heard. What's going on here?
Sounds hot.
All right, Rokhan joins us. Good morning, Ro. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. What happened to my music? Did you break it?
Is this your copy?
Sounds very bad off the top.
All right, well, let's just stop it. How about that for an idea?
Yeah, that was awful.
Ro Khan joins us now. All right, Ro, listen, you and I are, I feel like this is my statement, but you and I are friends, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Okay. So why do you keep taking stuff?
You know, that's what friends
do. Why do you keep taking my things?
That's what friends do, Steve. You borrow things. You know, like, I borrow your dresses, and I get them back to you.
Right. Who doesn't want to feel pretty?
Right. Sometimes I borrow the car. I keep it for a month. That's what I do. And this just happens to be a case where Kevin Powell, your erstwhile producer and contributor to the program, came to me quietly, secretly, surreptitiously.
Is that when he was blinking out, "Help, I'm a hostage"?
And he said, "Please help me. My alarm clock is broken. I can no longer get up early in the morning, and I want to do sports."
Well, it's a great move by you. It really is a great move by you, and he's going to fit in like O.J. Simpson's glove. He's going to fit in so well on that show.
Very timely. I like that. Yeah. FX, by the way.
Yes.
Network for that show.
Now, you had many people on the show trying to get the job. What is it about Kevin that made him special?
What made him was stealing him from you. I think that was probably the most important part. You know what? Kevin is an incredibly, reminds me very much of me. I know the very Trumpian answer here.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me very much of me when I was about his age and starting out in the business. He works real hard. He's very curious. He's great on the air. And he's got that millennial spirit of at some point he knows he's going to have to move out of his grandmother's basement.
Well, and the truth of the matter is the reason Kevin was great for this show until the Chargers, you know, finally kicked in, was because of that, because he worked harder than the other millennials. And by the way, nothing drives Kevin more crazy than mocking millennials.
I know. I'm having some fun with that.
Yeah. So you had this guy, what was it, Cameron Swayze, who was doing your sports before? Carmine Ragusa, what was his name?
Yes, Carmine Ragusa. Yes. No, Connor McKnight. Very, Connor McKnight. Talented guy.
Yes, and Connor left, so created this opening. So now you've got Kevin. I just want to be clear on something.
Mm-hmm.
There's no returns. So you can't keep the receipt on this.
He's got a package.
Wait, I don't know. Wait, what?
This is not a trial period.
No,
I'm very proud of him. I'm very proud of him. I think it's going to be terrific for him, and I think you're great to give him this opportunity. But if this doesn't work out, don't call us.
No, what? I thought I could easily just hand him right back.
No.
I got Sammy Lemmy Ding Dong sitting in the wings right now waiting.
No. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I've asked Andrea, Dave, and Mary to change their numbers.
Ro, I'll return your calls later on.
Yeah,
okay?
Andrea, don't worry about it.
Emails. Okay.
Yeah.
There was something about where not to let the door hit him.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So what are you going to do this afternoon with Kevin? Are you going to have some sort of special parade or anything? I mean, there are certain things he wants in the green room.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know what? He gets right down to work. That's what he does. Damn it. we got a lot going on. Dave just reported all the important stuff, right? I mean, yes. You know, basic spring training camps are broken. These guys are all now moving up north and away and trying to figure out what's going to happen for the baseball season that starts on Sunday night in the nation, and obviously, you know, for Chicago in that week, the next day. Then you got the Duncan Keith situation is very scary.
Yeah.
And the Corey Crawford situation. Yeah. So we got a lot to do there. And I can't quite figure out, as we head toward the draft, what the Bears are looking for. Like an entire team would it be I guess a running back. So he's got all these things he's got to concentrate on now. And he's going to have to get to work. And plus, I like the Starbucks. I like the venti.
What time do you like your dry cleaning picked up? Is that at a particular time?
Whatever time Hong Su says. That's right. I don't know. She handles all that for me. She calls me. She tells me.
Right, and then you go, Kevin, chop, chop.
Yeah, chop, chop, right, exactly. Hong Su's waiting for you right now in the van outside. Go get it. Yeah.
Right. All right, so Connie Mack leaves, Kevin comes in. You've also got Violetta Zippity-Doo-Dah doing your traffic. Are you at a millennial limit here? I mean, one more millennial and you got to throw somebody back, don't you?
Well, you know, I took a little bit of a page out of your book, right? You have sort of a, you know, 8 to 80 thing happening.
Until you started stealing people.
Well, yeah. You had somebody from every decade, essentially, right?
Right.
The point?
Right.
And I thought I really like the way that works. Now, we're a little millennial heavy right now, but you have to be. You have to have six of them to get the work of one. So it's working out. It's going to work out great. Actually, you know, those two are very it's fun together because Violetta is obviously, you know, she's a young traffic reporter and news reporter and stuff like that. So she's got a whole other spirit and a whole other view of the world. Kevin, by the way, is like an old man compared to her.
Yeah, no, it's true.
He's already noticed after 2 weeks.
Yeah, and he's 26. He still reads a newspaper.
Yeah.
I mean, the newspaper.
Yes.
Right.
With the pages. Yeah.
The hard copy.
Yeah.
He's got the old soul going. So, Kevin, congratulations. And I mean, I don't know if it's congratulations, but, you know, thanks for agreeing to come on board. And you know, and I've only got four to go now, Kevin. This is like a Agatha Christie novel.
Eventually, you know what it's going to be? Eventually, it's going to be me like Rush Limbaugh without the pills. I'll just do a four-hour monologue. Dave, you have something?
Well, I know Ro will be thrilled to know this. I gave Kevin his first official assignment since being named to this job. Mm-hmm. The White Sox are holding a media tour of the ballpark next week, including sampling concessions.
Oh.
And so Kevin, I had to twist his arm, but he jumped right up and volunteered to go to U.S. Cellular Field next week to report on the dandy new tasty offerings at the ballpark.
Yeah, I'm sure it was
many new additions to that stadium. So we'll have a full report on Tuesday, Ro. I know you're looking forward to that.
Yeah, I do. Well, actually, I am. Because quite honestly, it's a better stadium experience. I don't know what's going to happen this year, you know, with the really redo, but it's
good. I've said that for years. You know, all the people that have been banging on the cell for years, if you don't want to sit upstairs, don't sit upstairs. There's seats downstairs. The food's better. Oh, it's easier to get there. The parking's easier. And,
no question.
Until recently, it was mostly a better product on the field.
Yeah, and it's great for kids and stuff like that. I love going to the cell on a, you know, a weekday or a weeknight or a weekend day. It's like a great, it's a really, really great experience. I mean, I'm a Cubs fan, and I like that, but going to the Cubs, I get the sense when I'm there, it's like I've arrived at something where they don't care if I'm there. At the White Sox, and I don't mean just me because of this. I mean, just me, like an individual. I just feel like people get a little, you know, it's a little friendlier experience. Which is crazy because, you know, generally the history of the White Sox is that, you know, some guy punches you in the nose and then runs on the field and bites an umpire.
Yeah, brings his son to beat up the ump. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how the whole thing has turned around. But anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun for baseball.
Well, in the South Side, the best case scenario is both North and South are killing it, right? Yeah, I mean, that's what you want. Right.
Yeah. And so, Kevin's going to sample the food at Wrigley also.
Right.
Well, are there?
By the way, you're getting a new skinnier Kevin. You know that.
Yeah, I know. He's down to his fighting weight now. Yeah. No, the whole thing is good. Yeah. No, it was funny because I started stealing him away from you in Iowa. Mm-hmm. And
that's a true story.
And that's when Kevin decided to really go full force with this.
Well, I thought it was weird that you guys roomed together in Iowa. That seemed odd to me.
Well, once Roe demanded I give him a 8 a.m. wake-up call, he had my phone number, and since then it's been all Roe and I. And
yeah, 8 a.m. wake-up call, a back rub, and a mint julep. Right. Yeah. What do these have to do with Des Moines?
Kevin, did he have you at Iowa?
He did. I must admit, he did.
Where is my silk robe? Where is it?
Well, you're getting a great, great, great guy, and he'll do great work for you, and I couldn't be happier for him.
Yeah, no, and thank you, Steve, for being so helpful in all of this, too. And obviously, the truth of the matter is that, you know, Kevin is the guy who wanted to transition from the production side to the talent side, as they like to say. The people hate it when we say that, but to the on-air side. And he's and you know, you encouraged him to do it, and you encouraged me to take a hard look, and it's been great. I mean, he's great, and I think he's going to do really, really well. Andrea, call me.
I will.
Yeah. By the way, we're doing a nationwide search, Ro, to find a replacement for Kevin and Ross. And Ross's application to be Ro's son has been turned down officially. but we're doing a nationwide search to replace them, and it could take a very long time. I won't be able to announce Ross and Kevin's replacement until 7:10 tomorrow morning.
I understand that Ross has just accepted an offer by David Hochberg to be his son.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that is disappointing.
When I turned him down, he said Hochberg said yes, so that was fine.
Well, that could hurt my grandparent rights. all right, have a good show. There's plenty of Trump for you.
Yes, there always is.
All right, see you, man.
Thanks.
Bye, RC.
That's Rokun.
He said I can call him RC. Okay. That was one of the voicemails.
You especially are losing the number. It's 9:54. But Kev, congratulations.
Well, thanks again. Seriously. Thanks.
And tomorrow we're doing your goodbye thing on the air.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Surprise. Oh, that wasn't today?
It's a surprise goodbye
party. No, it's tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Mary's done with the celebration.
Mary's done.
Mary was done with it 5 minutes after. Mary did the five stages of grief in like 45 seconds. Hey, it goes, all right, let's move on.
Mary
I've lost a lot of children on
Mary
this program.
Mary thought about making you a cake, Kevin, so there you go.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking about it, if you're good.
Back with Bill O'Andy next on 720 WG.